that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Strike three called. He strikes him out. 1-2-3 in the ninth, and the Red Sox win the series. Boston 4 and Chicago 1.
So you do realize, Red Sox fans, that if the Chicago White Sox could turn a double play, you lose last night, right? You do understand that, but the Red Sox had a four-run rally only after the White Sox failed to turn a double play in that sixth inning, right? And also because the manager of the White Sox, Rick Renteria, has the brain power to take out a pitcher who's shutting out the other team after five innings. There was another brilliant move on the part of the other guy. But nonetheless, Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from the White Sox. And for that, actually, I give them a little bit of credit. Jim Murray. 617-779-0985 is your phone number here on the Baseball Reporters. Program is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, supplying contractors and homeowners with residential and commercial building materials since 1946. You can check them out at jacksonlumber.com. Again, phone lines are open, 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls up until 7 o'clock. Red Sox open up a four-game series with the Baltimore Orioles tonight at Camden Yards. And honestly, Murray, I'm ashamed to say I haven't even looked at the pitching yet. Is it Eduardo Rodriguez tonight?
That is correct.
Eduardo Rodriguez tonight, and then I'm guessing Porcello tomorrow, and then David Price in the third one, right? I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to go, if I remember the pitching from over the weekend. And you all know what happened to the Orioles, or with the Orioles and the Red Sox earlier in the season. So let me just chuck it out there. Do you want to see anything happen in this series? Because me, personally, I'm done with it. I thought the Red Sox acted like a bunch of children during the entire series of events with the Orioles earlier in the year. And I'd like to think now that the Red Sox have moved on to bigger things. Which brings me to last night's win. A 4-1 victory over the White Sox, who are not a very good team. I don't care what their one-loss record is. The White Sox aren't very good. The Red Sox got some help last night. Nonetheless, I don't think it was an insignificant win. I do think there was some significance to that victory, and let me explain why. I said going in, if you lose that game, you lose the series, you're going to Baltimore, you're going to New York. I just didn't love the feeling of it. I didn't love the idea. Instead, I now look at it and say, the Red Sox have won 3 series in a row. They swept Texas. They took 2 out of 3 from the Mariners. And they lost the finale in Seattle and the first one in Chicago, but they bounced back to win the last two. This is now 3 series in a row that the Red Sox have won. So what the heck is that now? That's 7-8-2 in their last 10? That's a nice little run. And I would like to see more of it. To me, it's all about consistency with this team this year. And so I would like to see more of this sort of thing going forward. String together a bunch of series wins. A bunch. Win 6 series in a row. Win 8 out of 9 series. Now then, now you're talking if you get to that level. And so, to me, again, not an insignificant win last night. And it was significant on other reasons, too. Not just in the big picture, which relates to where the Red Sox are in the standings, who they're chasing, and all the other elements of a potential playoff team and, dare I say, potential World Series challenging team. I don't think the Red Sox are the best team in the league, and I don't think they are one of the best teams in baseball, which speaks for itself, or is it obviously goes for itself. But I do think that they should be threatening for the World Series this year. And then depending on how some things go with David Price, the bullpen, the trade deadline, then we can start to talk about the reality of winning the championship. Of course, in baseball, if you get in, you get a hot pitcher or something, you can win anyway. But they should win the division, too. I want no part of that play-in game. I don't sit here and look at the Red Sox and say, well, just get into the playoffs. No, they should win the division. And this road trip coming up is an important part of that, or the second two stops on this road trip are an important part of that. 4 in Baltimore, 3 in New York. So let's see how this thing shakes out. Okay, and in the series over the weekend, you will get everybody but Pomeranz pitching in that series. So you'll get Price. You will get Porcello. you will get Chris Sale, and you'll get Eduardo Rodriguez. You're really throwing what should be your four best starting pitchers in the series against Baltimore, and the Orioles, by the way, are going down the toilet, or at least slumping badly at the moment. Murray, what'd you say yesterday? Didn't they lose like 14 out of 16 or something like that?
13 out of 17 going into last night's game.
Oh, it's insane how badly the Orioles are playing. So, again, I look at last night and I say important win. And with regard to some of the individuals, starting with Drew Pomeranz. Tony in Rhode Island was all over me yesterday for saying that Pomeranz is a bum. I still think Pomeranz is a bum. But the last two starts have been pretty good. And last night, again, he was good. Seven innings last night. What do you know? Drew Pomeranz walked into the seventh inning last night and said, oh, so this is what it looks like, because he finally got there. And it did. It was a big help. It was a big boost to the team that Pomeranz could get there. Again, I would like to see the consistency. It's all about consistency in that sport. Anybody can have a good week. Anybody can have a couple of good starts or a good month, and any team can do it. But can you do it over and over and over again? And then, you know who one of the offensive stars of that game was last night? Red Sox followers? Pablo Sandoval. 3-for-4 and had a big hit in that four-run rally in the sixth inning. That broke a 1-1 tie and gave the Red Sox a 2-1 advantage. Murray, have we sent a lineup yet for tonight? Has that come out yet?
Yes.
Is Sandoval in there playing third base?
He is not. It is Devin Marrero.
Devin Marrero's at third, and Hanley's DHing?
That is correct.
So no Pablo?
No Pablo.
Why does that irritate me?
I don't know.
I mean, the guy comes back, gets three hits, and are they facing a right-hander tonight in Baltimore?
It's Wade Miley.
Oh, it's Wade Miley. That's why. Okay, so that's why. So there you go. Then I'm not irritated.
Okay.
I take it back. Because it's going to be a platoon at third base, so Marrero's in there, Hanley's in there, but in any case... The big picture with the Red Sox, three series wins in a row. They did kind of steal one last night. It wasn't an overly impressive rally, but nonetheless, they won the game 4-1. And going forward here, the series with the Orioles. Do they still owe anything to the Baltimore Orioles? Because I don't think they do. And should the Red Sox have their antenna up for maybe some sort of retribution, particularly by the end of the series over the weekend? 617-779-0985. When we come back, too, I'll have a stat for you. Regarding the Red Sox performance here in the first 2 months of the year and how surprisingly good that might be. A stat that may surprise you.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the Winter Event.
The Mercedes-Benz Winter Event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter-event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
What do you know? You're at the office late again. Because when the company's all yours, so's the worry. This is when the real job's just beginning. Like having to answer all of your employees' health insurance questions? Yeah, forgot you had to do that, didn't you? Not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your team can talk to. Ah, the cleaning crew is here. Shall we call it a day?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Get the feeling it's kind of make or break, though, for him, this opportunity. The 1-1. Golf to left. That's going to drop in. Well-struck line drive. Driving back Cabrera. And Pablo Sandoval back in the fold. Rips a single. There's a little blooper down the left field line. That's going to drop in for a base hit. Moreland is in to score. Rutledge at second, and the Red Sox have a 2-1 lead. Pablo Sandoval with the RBI. That's a base hit down the line, maybe extras. Cabrera will scoop it up. Sandoval will be content with a single and his third hit tonight as he comes back with a bang.
Good night for Pablo Sandoval. Three hits, 3-for-4, and one of them, a single to left field that broke a 1-1 tie in the sixth inning. helped trigger a 4-run rally for the Red Sox. And again, just prior to that, I think it was Jeff Rutledge hit a ground ball to the left side that the White Sox were unable to turn a double play on because the shortstop had a little bit of difficulty getting the ball out of his glove. It was enough for Rutledge to beat it out. He literally beat it by a fraction of a step and would have ended the inning, left the door open. Sandoval gets a hit. The Red Sox end up getting a 2-run double from Christian Vasquez immediately thereafter, and they go on to a 4-1 win. And so the White Sox opened the door. The Red Sox took advantage. Sandoval, again, 3-for-4, knocked in a run, 3 singles, all to the opposite field. It was a good night for Pablo, all the way around, a very good night. And even in discussing Sandoval after the game, and remember, Sandoval's going to be platooning night, platooning now, and the Red Sox are facing a left-hander tonight in Wade Miley in Baltimore. So Devin Marrero is back at third base. Sandoval's on the bench. I mean, it is interesting. He gets 3 hits, comes back, now he's on the bench. So they're not going to let him hit right-handed. He's not going to play defense in the late innings. And even at the beginning of that cut that we just played you, you heard Dave O'Brien say, you get the sense that it's make or break with Pablo now. And Jimmy Stewart, if we could just play the beginning of it again, right? So the perception from the outside is one thing. But Peter Abraham of the Globe said the Red Sox are close to losing patience with Pablo, which suggests to me that this might be it. This is the last chance Pablo is getting. And then in the broadcast, when Sandoval came up last night for the first time, his first at-bat of the night, just listen again to what Dave O'Brien said at the beginning of the at-bat.
Get the feeling it's kind of make or break, though, for him, this opportunity.
Make or break for him, this opportunity. This is it. This is it. One more crack, Pablo. That's it. That's all you're getting. And last night, to his credit, Pablo got 3 hits. However, you still get the sense that Farrell doesn't like him. And he's almost, you wonder on some level if Farrell doesn't want to already be done with Pablo Sandoval. Not that you can blame him. The manager takes a beating in this town, comes with a job. Comes with a chair, comes with that office at Fenway Park. As it pertains to Sandoval, I wonder if Farrell's already done. Just listen to the comment. He was asked about Sandoval's contribution last night. Maybe I'm reading into it too much. Here is what Farrell said.
3 base hits the other way. One was a bloop base hit inside the 4-run inning. But to see him come back and swing the bat with some aggressiveness, I thought he stayed inside the strike zone or at least up and down on top of the plate pretty well tonight for the first time back. So he gives us a boost with the three base hits here tonight.
So 3 hits, one was a bloop inside the 4-run inning.
3 base hits the other way. One was a bloop base hit inside the 4-run inning.
A bloop base hit inside the 4-run inning. Am I reading into that too much, Murray? Like the fact that he would point out that it was a bloop as if to say, yeah, he got a big hit there. It was kind of lucky.
Yeah, I think you might be a little bit. I mean, this guy overanalyzes more than just about any other manager you ever hear from. So, I mean, this is more the typical stuff you hear from him, I feel like.
So that is completely consistent with how Farrell would describe it. Yeah. He would give you a needless detail just to talk longer. He would. But I don't know. When I heard it, I went, you had to point out that it was a bloop. Like, you couldn't just say he had 3 hits. He had a
big hit. Is that offensive in baseball circles? You tell me.
I mean, not necessarily, but, you know, again, it could just be Farrell's personality, his nature, him feeling the need to, again, when he talks about a guy hitting the baseball, he says he impacts the ball. He said it about Sandoval 2 days ago. He said it about Sam Travis again last night. And so Farrell overtalks. Total. He has since the day he got here. But on some level, I can't help but wonder if it was, you know, he had a bloop in that inning. Like, he didn't hit that one hard. It was a big hit for us, but it was a bloop. I don't know. Again, it could just be me. It could be me.
Well, that's the type of hit you can get in baseball. You can get a bloop hit. It's not like he called it a fluke.
And you know what? Xander Bogaerts had one to start the inning. And honestly, I think good hitters get a lot of bloop hits. Because, A, it's math. Like, you're going to need some bloop hits to hit 340, like Bogaerts is hitting, or whatever the hell he's hitting right now. And secondly, these guys have a capacity to put the bat on the ball when other guys don't. So even if it's not hit sharply, a lot of times they can get enough of a pitch and spoil a pitch to put it in play.
But last night has definitely proved positive that they shouldn't give up on him just yet. I completely understand the frustration with him, and he does look like he's heavy. And I'm sure that's playing into it as well. But as thin as they are at that position, they're going to need his bat.
Well, he can hit. He can. And when I say hit, he's not Hanley. He's not that kind of hitter. But Pablo will hit.
He can do what he did last night.
No, he'll hit good pitching and he'll put the bat on the ball. He will. He'll put the bat on the ball.
He can impact the ball.
He can impact it. Correct. 617-779-0985. The other hero last night was Drew Pomeranz, which brings me to my buddy Tony in Providence. What do you got, Tony?
Tony, I want to thank. I mean, all kidding aside, I made two dimes last night. And if you don't know what that is, that's $2,000. I bet $3,330 to make two. And I would like to know what your charity is, because I'm going to make a donation, because I feel guilty making this easy money.
Oh, Tony.
Okay. I mean, I made money. I bet the Celtics when they were down 2-0 and you said they were done, and I won $1,500 off that. And I got a Vegas bet because the odds for them to win that series, you put $500 to make $1,500. I won that one. So like I said, and I will send you a check. You let me know what your charity is, and I will be good to my word. Now listen, I just want to mention the key. You and Murray have to go. The key to that game, and I watched it, I don't know if you guys watched the whole game, was the up at bat that Pablo was up, and he wasted a lot of pitches, and we got Pelfrey out of that inning after five. That was key. And like I said, you know, fighting those pitches away, that was a key to that game. And Tony, you said that double play, they were lucky, but that doesn't take anything away from what Pomeranz did the other night. You know, seven innings, 8 strikeouts, and like I said, he must have heard you last night.
Yeah, so Tony, listen, Pomeranz had a good game. Okay, I can honestly, I still think he's a bum. I will continue to think he's a bum. It was nice to know, though, that on the mound last night, he actually did show the capacity to field the ball and move when a ball was hit somewhere in his vicinity. He did it twice. Once he came off the mound to his right and threw out a guy at first base, and on the other one, obviously, he started a play where they got a runner and a rundown and got an out at second base. But he threw to third on that play and by coming off the mound and fielding the ball. That said, Drew Pomeranz was good last night. He was good. He's been good 2 starts in a row. I want to see it consistently. And again, I don't think it's a coincidence, do you, that all of a sudden he's pitched 2 good games in a row after having it out with the manager in the dugout? And when I say having it out, I think the manager put him in his place. Sent him up to the clubhouse and said, shut up, we'll talk after the game. And so Pomeranz put his tail between his legs and went up to the clubhouse. Now all of a sudden he's pitching better. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes with Pomeranz. I'm still not completely sold on him. On Sandoval, keep an eye on it. Because again, it feels like he's at the end of his rope. Quickly, Ron is in New Hampshire. Ron, what do you got?
You know, I just wanted to comment about the Orioles series. And just a comment, by the way, you know, daily listener, thanks for taking the call and everything. Love you guys. You know, it actually irks me and almost hurts me to think that John Farrell had that good of an effect on Drew Pomeranz such that, you know, he learned how to pitch again, or he decided he was going to find something in him to be able to challenge a batter and stay in the strike zone and stay focused. But that's kind of my whole thing about the Orioles is there's this temptation for the team to get wrapped up in what happened. And, you know, those two teams were kind of on, I think, different trajectories at the time. We weren't looking too good. They were looking really good. And, you know, they were fighting. But at this point, I feel like we need to put them in their place and we need to show them who we are. And we need to do it, like, professionally. So you go in there like nothing happened, like it doesn't matter. You pitch your hearts out. You keep the focus. You beat these guys. You got to beat them. You got to take this series. And you move on from it. And I hope they don't even talk about anything. I mean, it's going to get talked about. But I hope that it just doesn't become a thing at all. We owe them nothing. They owe us nothing. It's baseball. Let's play some baseball.
Okay, so, Ron, look, I honestly, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. And the only way I think it comes back to life is if the Orioles feel the need to somehow get back at the Red Sox for the nonsense that went on over and over and over again. So we'll see how that shakes out. But Pedroia's not even going to play in the series. Pedroia's on the DL. So he's not even going to play in the series. If I'm him, I'm hiding tonight. I don't come out and talk about this. I don't bring it up at all. And you pointed out, the Orioles have gone bad. They've gone bad. So now, I don't know, you know, it can turn, as we all know in baseball, it can turn quickly. But if I'm the Red Sox, I wouldn't wake up Baltimore. I wouldn't give them a reason to want to wake up. And I'm not saying that I'm afraid of the Orioles. I'm saying that when a team's going bad, let them continue to go bad. Let them rot. If you can take 3 out of 4 in there and then go into New York, you're in pretty good shape. It's hard to win a 4-game series on the road, especially against a team that's half decent. And so I think the Orioles are that. But there's no need to start introducing other elements in this series that don't need to be there. Which brings me to, I might as well finish the, or close the loop, you know, finish the thought. I said to you, a stat that may interest you with regarding baseball overall here in the first couple of months, and with the Red Sox in particular. There are only 8 teams in baseball so far, 8, who had winning records in both April and May. 4 in the National League, 4 in the American League. And believe it or not, one of them was the Red Sox. Only 4 teams in the league had a winning record in both April and May, and the Red Sox were one of them. Okay, now the Houston Astros obviously were one. The Yankees were one. And for the life of me now, I cannot remember who the fourth is. But I know the Red Sox were one of the 4 in the American League.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe Iona Slater can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the Winter Event.
The Mercedes-Benz Winter Event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter-event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
What do you know? You're at the office late again. Because when the company's all yours, so's the worry. This is when the real job's just beginning. Like having to answer all of your employees' health insurance questions. Yeah, forgot you had to do that, didn't you? Not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your team can talk to. Ah, the cleaning crew is here. Shall we call it a day?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.
From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Red Sox pen has been exceptional tonight. And here comes Craig Kimbrel. 2-2 to Davidson.
Oh.
He got him. He struck him out with the curveball. Down he goes, strike three.
2 strikeouts, both on fastballs.
Strike three called. He strikes him out. 1-2-3 in the ninth. Boston 4 and Chicago 1.
Well, then there's this guy. And I've been very critical of Craig Kimbrel during his time with the Red Sox. Last year in particular, I just thought, this guy's all over the place. He's playing pin the tail on the donkey out there. This guy's not pitching.
It was understandable last year. He walked too many guys. The ERA was up. And considering what Dave Dombrowski gave away for him, it was a bit of a disappointment. Not a major one, but a little bit of a disappointment.
Oh, boy, was he. I thought, was he a disappointment last year? And you can give me all the numbers you want about save percentage and everything else. Okay, that's all well and good. But I thought the Red Sox were getting a dominating closer. A guy who would come in and blow people away and that would be a weapon.
Well, the guy that you saw when he first came into first came up when he was with Atlanta, when he was flat out dominant for like 3 or 4 seasons.
See, exactly. And again, Murray, you saw more than I did, right? I looked at the numbers and I went, well, this guy throws bullets. And I'd seen highlights and this guy blows people away. And then I watched him pitch on a regular basis. I said, he just winds up and uncorks it. There's no artistry to what this guy does. He can't throw strikes with, consistently with any level of repetition or any of that. I just thought, no way. This guy doesn't do any of it. And this year, boy, has he nailed it. I think last night, Kimbrel threw 14 pitches. He struck out the side again. I haven't counted yet how many times he's done that. He struck out the side, but it's a lot.
It feels like a lot. He's been very efficient.
I mean, it feels like he does it almost every time. So Craig Kimbrel now has pitched in 23 games this year, okay? The Red Sox are 22-1 when he pitches. And in the game they lost, he did not take the loss. Farrell brought him into a tie game, I think, in the ninth inning on the road. They ended up losing it after Kimbrel was done. So Farrell has been more aggressive with Kimbrel in these situations on the road, bringing him in the eighth inning of tie games, ninth inning of tie games. And I want to say the one they lost was in Oakland. I think that was a 4-3 game. Kimbrel came in, pitched a scoreless ninth. The game went later, obviously went into extras, and the Red Sox lost. I think that was it. That's the only time they have lost when Kimbrel has been on the mound. And again, the only way I can and really illustrate or articulate it for you is to say that when you have a dominant reliever, he becomes a weapon. He is a weapon late in the game. And he isn't just a weapon with how you use him. He's a weapon in that the other team knows he's out there. You get into, you know, the
gain a psychological advantage.
Totally. You get into the seventh or eighth inning, and the other team starts saying, well, they got Kimbrel in the ninth.
We're running out of time.
Right. So, like, look at a game like last night. Now you've got, because Pomeranz can go seven, and you're looking at it and saying, well, he'll use Kimbrel for an extra out. We've only got a couple outs to score here in the eighth. If you're the White Sox, you're looking at it going, we better get our runs. Because once Kimbrel gets in the game, forget it. Lights out. And some of the numbers this year on Kimbrel are absolutely, positively mind-numbing. So this one's been in the paper a lot, but it is just so freaking outrageous that I think it bears repeating. This year against right-handed batters, or I should say against Kimbrel, right-handed batters are 0 for 45. They don't have a hit. He has not allowed a hit to a right-handed batter all year. He's walked three righties. Let me see if he's hit one. He has not hit one. So he's walked three righties in 48 plate appearances. That's an on-base percentage of 0.63. So they've gone 0 for 45 with 25 strikeouts. They are more likely to strike out against Kimbrel than put the ball in play as a right-handed batter. That is absurd. At the big league level, that is freaking absurd. 0 for 45. Meanwhile, lefties, 6 for 34. They're only hitting 176 against them. One home run, that was Kendrys Morales in Toronto. Remember that one?
Yeah.
The Red Sox won that game anyway. So, again, it hurt at the time, but it didn't cost them the game. And their OPS, left-handed batters OPS against Kimbrel, 524. That is a ridiculously low number. At home, Fenway Park, hitters are 3 for 43 against them. It's an 0.70 average. On the road, 3 for 36. That's 0.83. Like, no matter how you slice it up with this guy in the early part of the season, it's outrageous. In the month of May, which is now complete, May is over. Opposing hitters went 1 for 40 against Kimbrel with 25 strikeouts.
That's insane.
And one walk. In the month of May, 1 for 40, 25 strikeouts, one walk. They hit 0.25 against him. Non-save situations, remember this? This was a big deal with Kimbrel last year.
Yeah.
Non-save situations this year, he's pitched in six games. 0.00 ERA. He has allowed one hit in 6 2/3 innings, struck out 11, no walks. And the batting average against him in those non-save situations, 0.43. Just every way you look at it with Craig Kimbrel this year is just absolutely ridiculous. And if you want to get to, you know, two strike counts, when he's ahead 0-2, opposing hitters 1 for 16, that's 0.63. When he's ahead 1-2, 1 for 24, that's 0.42. 2-2 count, if you know, that one's pretty even, but nonetheless, 1 for 18, 0.56. Dial it up any way you want. The guy has been insanely good. To the point where I want to ask a question about the Red Sox. Now that we're basically a third of the way through the season, I want you to give it some thought. But first, Jay is in the car and wants to talk about Craig Kimbrel. Go ahead.
Hey, Tony. Does his special training program play into his success? Oh, it's not there. Thank you.
So is that everything, Jay? Well, that's all he wanted to say. This guy threw 99 last year, though. I mean, I suppose your control could get better. I mean, you know, I wouldn't rule that out.
Well, the control has been better. I mean, just with the naked eye.
No, but I mean if you train differently.
I mean, he's been efficient. The control's been better. I mean, that to me has been pretty much obvious. And he was one of the most dominant closers in the game when I was down in Atlanta. And who the hell was paying attention to the Atlanta Braves? Hell, people down there weren't even doing it. But there was that stretch, again, 3 or 4 years. You know, he was in that conversation, one of the top three. And then you saw the dip when he went to San Diego and a bit last year. This is what I expected to see, you know, when they made that deal to get this guy last year.
So I tell you what I'm going to do, Murray. During the break, I'm going to count up the number of times he has struck out at least two in an inning. out of his appearances. 23 appearances, 22-1. How many of those has he had at least two strikeouts? And I'll also give you the times he struck out three. Okay, we'll do that during the break. But here's the question I wanted to ask. You're basically a third of the way into the season right now. Who's the MVP of your team? Which guy do you look at and say, well, that guy's our most valuable player? If you're thinking Sale, it's a good one, except he hasn't been great the last five starts. The ERA is almost five, and maybe that's a little tilted because of the last outing he gave up seven runs. But give it some thought, because I'll tell you who I think that is, and I'll tell you about a story in Major League Baseball last night that had me laughing out loud this morning. We'll get to that next.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe Iona Slater can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the Winter Event.
The Mercedes-Benz Winter Event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter-event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
What do you know? You're at the office late again, because when the company's all yours, so's the worry. This is when the real job's just beginning, like having to answer all of your employees' health insurance questions. Yeah, forgot you had to do that, didn't you? Not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your team can talk to. Ah, the cleaning crew is here. Shall we call it a day?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So I asked this question right before we went to break. Third of the way in. Tonight's game 53. Tomorrow's game 54. You're literally at the third mark of the season. Played one third of the games. 54 games. Who would you say is the MVP of the Red Sox? Kyle in New Hampshire. Who's the MVP of the Red Sox?
It's got to be Mookie Betts. He has another gear, so he can get better. But there was a short period of time, especially around the Milwaukee series, where he pretty much carried the Red Sox at a time where the offense wasn't really clicking. You combine that with Gold Glove defense in right field, and it's got to be Mookie. If Sale had a couple complete games, I'd probably give it to him. But at this point, it's got to be Mookie for me.
Okay, so listen, Betts is a good pick. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you there's a right answer or a wrong answer. I'm just telling you that Mookie, to me, didn't do a whole hell of a lot in the early part of the year. It felt like it took a while for him to hit his first home run. But among the positional players, he's the best pick. Mookie's the best pick. Even Bogarts, all those singles early in the year, I suppose he'd be the other candidate, but honestly, I wouldn't give it to a positional player. To me, it's one of two guys. It's either Sale, who's an easy one, or it's Kimbrel.
I don't know how it can't be Craig Kimbrel. I mean, it is for me. And again, you go over some of these numbers. They get into these late innings, and John Farrell, obviously, as you've seen, has utilized him in a way that kind of how Francona has utilized Andrew Miller, not to that extent, but close. And it's probably by default because of how thin the bullpen is for those guys he wants to use in the seventh and eighth inning. It's Craig Kimbrel.
Oh,
offense knows he's coming. They're done.
Murray, he's been a force. He's been a force. Again, 22-1 in the 23 games he has pitched. And, you know, he's not allowed a hit to a right-handed batter. And I just think now there's this element of when he comes in the game of, uh-oh, you're shutting down the other guy. Now you score, it's over. So I looked it up. There have been, again, 23 appearances this year, 14 of which Kimbrel has retired every man he faced. So I was going to give you straight 1-2-3 innings, but it doesn't qualify. For example, what game was it, and I looked at this quickly, what game was it when he came in with one out and two men on in the eighth inning and got out of it, and the Red Sox ended up winning the game? So he got two outs, he faced two guys, he got two outs, and it was the win at Minnesota, 17-6. They ended up rallying in the ninth and getting all those runs.
Oh, right, right, yeah. That ninth inning took like an hour and a half.
But it was 7-6 in the eighth, and the game was getting away from him. And Farrell brought him in for two batters. Kimbrel struck them both out, if I remember right. I'll double-check that, but he did. He struck out both batters, walked off the mound. The Red Sox got 10 runs, and they won the game 17-6. So that's not a 1-2-3 inning, but that's a perfect outing. Okay, that's a perfect outing. So I give him credit for that one. If you count that, it's 15 out of 23. And in one of those, he struck out four guys, not three. There was the ball that was a wild pitch where the runner went to first, so he didn't, quote-unquote, retire everybody. But, again, I have a hard time holding that one against him, so I'll give him credit for that. Out of the 23 outings, 15 of them, he basically retired every man he faced. That is nuts. And it is a huge contrast to where he was a year ago. Okay? Now, you know what? I'll tell you what. We'll squeeze in one more call quickly. Brian's in the car. Brian, what do you got?
Yeah, hey, I actually completely agree with you with Kimbrell. Last year I watched him pitch. I was at opening day when him and Price were just both bums. And I was like, man, this guy can't pitch. He just throws it as hard as he can and hopes he hits the strike zone. But this year has just been a complete turnaround. I mean, even I was at opening day this year as well, and he almost blew that game when he gave up a couple of hits. And I was like, man, is this guy ever going to get it together? So by far, you're not winning, you know, like you're saying, you're not going on these streaks in May of winning this many series without a closer who's closing out games. You know, you're not going to continue to go on those streaks. It's a lot about your pitching and not all your offense. So I would have to completely agree it has to be Kimbrell through the first third.
Yeah, and Brian, again, it's, you know, 1.1 walks per nine now. 1.1, that's insanely low. Last year, he walked five guys per nine. That's a huge improvement. I just wanted to touch on this story quickly because I laughed my ass off when I saw it today. I saw it on Twitter, and then I went online and looked at the video, and I could not stop laughing. Murray, please share.
Well, last night, Mr. Met at Citi Field, that is the mascot of the Mets, gave...
The Mets mascot is known as Mr. Met.
Yeah, gave, well, maybe arguably the highlight of the Mets season when he flipped off a fan. He gave the middle finger, or a finger, the finger, to a fan. It has since gone viral. The video is everywhere. It's been made into a GIF. And the person who played Mr. Met has since been fired. But now the New York Post has shed more light on the Mr. Met bird flipping controversy. This from Deadspin as well.
So before you go on, could you just imagine like what we would be saying if Wally flipped off someone at Fenway Park? Like think of the story that would. I almost wet my pants when I saw this.
Oh, it's amazing.
Tell me this is not the quintessential New York Met, New York story. The mascot, the freaking team mascot in New York is giving fans the finger.
And I'm still a child when it comes to mascots. I still find them extremely entertaining to a point. Like, the Wally thing's stupid, but, you know, Mr. Met, kind of funny. And then it got pissed. The guy inside got pissed off enough while in the mascot uniform. Essentially, you're like a living cartoon character. And to do the old FU, it's amazing.
Oh, it's hysterical. I thought it was like the funniest thing I'd seen all day. It was absolutely fabulous. So the Philly fanatic apparently last week picked up a baby or something. The baby started crying.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm like, who cares? Like that doesn't, the Philly fanatic wasn't going to do anything to the baby. Who cares? But this, Mr. Met giving the fans the finger? Yeah. Like, talk about fan relations. That'll do a lot for the Met fan in New York.
Well,
that's perfect.
The fan who claims to know who the person inside the Mr. Met suit was sitting in the section where the bird flip occurred, told the Post fans were cursing at Mr. Met with the F word and saying derogatory things about Mr. Met's mom, which led to the gesture because of a personal matter with his mom. The New York Post also spoke to the fan and recorded the video of the incident, and he denied saying anything untoward. Quote, I did nothing to provoke it. I had my phone out and out to record getting a high five. My hand was by the tunnel to get the high five. He pulled his hand away, turned around, and did what he did. It was not direct. If it was directed towards other fans or other fans' actions, I'm not sure, but I did not say anything to provoke Mr. Met, nor did I say or do anything before, during, or after the video to provoke him.
So Mama Met has some sort of issue in the comment got under Mr. Met's skin. Is that the deal? So Mr. Met has been terminated. There is no longer, I mean, the mascot exists, but the person who played Mr. Met has been relieved of his duties, and there is now a new person inside the body of Mr. Met. In case you're wondering that.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The business you run may be small, but your responsibility, that's always big. Real big. Like answering all of your employees' health insurance questions? That's on you, boss. But not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your employees can talk to who can help. Oh, and you're also responsible for company outings. Might I suggest laser tag?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.